The news came out really just before 7 tonight. An independent report examining the workplace culture at Rideau Hall found that former Governor General Julie Payette and her deputy Assunta DiLorenzo presided over a toxic work environment. The report was released tonight. Detailed allegations from staff members of yelling, screaming, aggressive conduct, demeaning comments, and public humiliations. The report said that 43 staff members at Rideau Hall described the general work environment as hostile or negative. 26 people interviewed used the words toxic or poisoned to describe the general work atmosphere at Rideau Hall during Payette's time there. In July, the Privy Council office announced it had hired an independent consulting firm to review reports that Payette was responsible for workplace harassment after a series of reports by CBC News. The report's intention was to determine the scope of the problem, therefore does not make findings of fact. It only relays what the interview participants reported. And people who have gone through the lengthy report have said that a lot of it is redacted. Joining us to talk about this is our friend Howard Levitt. He is Canada's top employment lawyer, Levitt, Shake, Chaudhry and Swan. Howard Levitt, welcome back to the show.
Barb, thank you for having me.
So great to have you. Have you had a chance to look over any of this report?
Just a very, very little bit, but I understand there's no specifics. The problem is, you talk about toxic workplace, abusive environment. It's so much in the eyes of the beholder. I like to say here, she said X to me and then threatened me with the following words. Then I know whether it's something that's real or just some civil servant's oversensitivity to bad atmosphere.
When you get a situation like this, does the number of employees who come forward to claim this carry any weight in terms of whether you would be likely to believe it more?
Yes and no. If they had a cushy environment before and all of a sudden some slave driver comes along and makes them work hard for the first time in their careers, you can imagine they're going to gang up and try and get rid of her. Now, I'm not saying that happened, Barb. And she just may be an abusive, toxic, nasty boss that shrieks and screams and calls people names and swears at them with expletives. But I haven't heard any of that. I haven't heard anything. All I've heard is this generic complaint of a toxic, poison work environment, which, you know, that's the zeitgeist now, accuse people of that when you're unhappy there. And it may all be true, but I don't know with certainty that it is.
I don't know if you would know the answer to this, but one of the things I often wonder is, why would huge chunks of this report be redacted?
I don't know the answer to that. You're quite right in saying I don't know the answer to that. I mean, is it because, it would not be, I guess there'd be an issue of libel if it's released to the public as opposed to if it's kept internally. Of course, there's a libel privilege if you give a report to the person that commissioned it, to the government, to make a decision. But if you're going to start releasing it to the public, then there might be some personal details that are covered by privacy laws that shouldn't be there. Maybe medical issues, for example. I'm just giving that hypothetical. I don't know that any of that's the case. Maybe just an overly timorous government. Maybe, in fact, there is the kind of specifics that I'm thirsting for in this report, and we just don't know about them. Look, we've been hearing problems for a long time about her. We heard about problems in her last two jobs. So it sounds like she's a nasty piece of work who should not be managing anybody and was lazy and incompetent. Now, but again, I'd like more specifics. And if that's the case, if she's as bad as everyone says she is, then she shouldn't get any severance pay.
Well, that's what I want to ask you next, because the former governors general have very generous severance. So it's called an annuity, expenses, you know, and is there anything that the government could do to make the exception to not allow her to get all of that based on the findings of this report?
Okay, now, Barb, let's start with this. The reason they call it an annuity is because that is the wording in the Governor General's Act.
Okay.
By parliamentary legislation, she's entitled to her severance payment. But because parliamentary legislation in the form of the Governor General's Act entitles her severance payment, that means the same government could pass an amendment and not give it to her. They could have a legislative parliamentary provision that she will not be entitled to severance pay because of her behavior. And if they did that, she would have no recourse at all.
You know, I've had people express to me, I can't believe that the people who used to be governor general get all of this. And I'm saying, to me, sometimes it takes a story like this to draw attention to what they've got in place already. And whether it's Adrienne Clarkson, that was a few years ago, and she spent over $100,000, which triggered we need some receipts, and that was just her expenses in addition to her $150,000 annuity. But I'm wondering, maybe just
her behavior was outrageous in terms of spending,
right?
And Walsh was governor general as well, not just after the big function she would have, inviting her friends to Europe with her. I mean, it was scandalous. Bob Ray and the rest of them, all of her buddies would go with her on great all-expense-paid trips.
Right, but I mean, has anything changed? That was just a scandal, but I don't think her expenses have been taken away.
I don't think, no. And I don't think that Payette has ever been accused of being a big spender. Now, maybe she has been, I'm not unaware of it, but Clarkson was so in your face, was so blatant. She just mixed with her friends and took them all on expensive trips. Payette is a different kettle of fish. She's got the Governor General Act, which entitles her to this $150,000 pension, essentially, another $200,000 expense allowance every year for the rest of her life, with some survivor benefits as well. If I don't know if she's married or not, but if she or has a partner or not, but if she does, they get some portion of it after she passes away, if she predeceases them. But there's nothing stopping the government, who has to acknowledge now we have a scandal, from passing legislation depriving her of that benefit. If it's already in legislation, it can be removed by legislation. And I'm sure the NDP and the Tories would happily pass that legislation. So the question is whether Trudeau is going to protect her again.
Right. Let me ask you something. Do positive comments ever have much weight in something like this? Fewer than 10 people described positive or neutral feelings about their work environment. The overwhelming majority described experiences that the report said would be objectively considered concerning.
Well, it's not very many, and of course they could be her favorite children.
Right.
The people she favored, which of course incites other people. And when unions get into plants, it's usually because first line supervision plays favorites. It's not because of job security, it's not because of wages, it's not because of benefits, it's because of management that plays favorites. And bad managers play favorites. So in fact there's 10 people who like her, well, that runs with that theory. There's a few people she treated well, and the vast majority looked at that and said, how come I don't get treated so well?
Right.
But again, we don't know, because there's no specifics in this report. It certainly sounds awful, but when I hear poison work environment, toxic behavior, what does that mean? What exactly did she do? So I could analyze, as an employment lawyer, whether objectively what she did was that atrocious, or if she was just a tough boss and had some civil servants who weren't used to working hard, and she started working them hard, and they hated her, decide what can we do to get rid of her. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm saying, I don't know.
Right.
Not giving us enough information.
If this were a private sector situation, and she stepped down because of these allegations that were being made against her, would she be entitled to anything?
Well, first of all, she didn't step down. She was fired. She was told to resign, which is a firing. In any event, if someone behaved the way she's purported to behave, then it would be cause for discharge for someone in that senior leadership position, and she'd be entitled to nothing.
I mean,
but
technically,
what does she have to say about this? That's the other thing. I want to hear the other side of the story. They must have investigated her. They must have interviewed her and her junior, that this number two person who was attacked as well. What do they have to say? What's their side of the story?
Okay.
Why don't we know that? Why aren't they releasing that? And again, I'm certainly not defending her. I suspect she's as horrible as they say, based on everything I've ever heard. But I'd love to hear what the other side of the story is. There's got to be some other side of the story. They will have had to have interviewed her. She would have had to have said something. What did she say?
Okay. I mean, she did resign. I mean, we know that she had to, but she did resign. She wasn't fired.
That doesn't mean anything. She was fired.
Yeah.
So
either
resign for optics, or we'll fire you tomorrow. I'll ask the queen to fire you, which is what he had to do. That doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Howard Levitt, thank you for this.
Anytime, Barb.
All right. Great to have you on, Howard Levitt. Levitt, Shake, Chaudhry, and Swan. Howard will join us tomorrow night for Employment Law on the Night Side.